Hi, and welcome to this month's Conversations with Chrissy. I'm Chrissy Neiser, MBA Administrator, and really glad to be joining you as we celebrate Earth Month in this beautiful environment here at the Maryland Department of Natural Resources as we talk about the important things we're doing to make our environment better as well as the state itself. I'm really proud to be joined today by JT Bowers, who is the Deputy Director of the Maryland Forest Service at the Department of Natural Resources. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. This is an awesome podcast, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to be here in this natural environment talking about exactly what you do every day.
Yes, couldn't be a better place for it.
So let's start there. Tell us a little bit about how you came to the Department of Natural Resources and your background and experience.
So yes, I'm the Deputy Director of the Maryland Forest Service. I've been with the state for about 10 months. I was appointed the Associate Director of Policy and Planning last June, and I recently took my position in January as Deputy Director. So I work closely with the state forester, Dr. Ann Harrison Strang, who is our first female and first doctorate to be the state forester, which is really exciting. We have a really nice collaboration together to lead forestry through this new era that we have here in the state. So really excited about that. I bring a little bit different perspective that kind of mixes and mingles with Dr. Strang's. I'm an urban forester by practice. I have degrees in landscape architecture and conservation ecology with a focus in urban ecosystems. So my background has been both in the private sector, where I was an environmental scientist and an ecological planner. And I also was a executive leader for a nonprofit called the Baltimore Tree Trust prior to joining. And so I have a lot of experience with workforce development and working with different types of stakeholders and partnerships to advance community forestry initiatives. So I'm just really excited that we have a lot of exciting programs and funding and opportunities to engage new communities because of that. And that thing is a really nice overlap with what we're doing at DNR and what MBA's focus is on environmental stewardship.
No, I think that's a great point. I think oftentimes people might not think of the MBA in terms of environmental stewardship. They think of it more about branch offices and that interaction, that transactions that they have to do. But there has been a lot of overlap in the last few years, and really proud of the joint offices that we now have together in many locations across the state. And it really started with the question of, if I have a boat trailer and I need to register the boat, I also need to register the trailer at the MBA, but the other DNR, does that really make sense? Can we co-locate to find some synergy, not only for our employees, but for our customers, and make that a better customer experience? And now not only can they do that boat registration, they also can get their crabbing or their hunting or their fishing license and all the other great services that you provide. So I know that partnership has really started there, but it continues to grow with things like the Tremendous Program. And that is really something that we're so proud of. You know, it took a while for our experts to get the programming done. That's always the hardest piece, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to offer the option. But I think we've all been just shocked at how Marylanders have responded. So for those who don't know, it's an opportunity on your vehicle registration to make a donation to this great program to help plant trees statewide.
Yeah, I'm shocked, but I'm also not in the same sense, because, you know, Maryland is such a progressive state and such an environmentally conscious state because of the Bay and because of all of our visual connection, I think, in our landscape to the environment. So it's been an awesome partnership. I think when I started, you know, that I think some of the first reporting for that partnership we're rolling out, and the month by numbers were astounding. And it's really great. Our Tremendous Program is a large program. It's sort of an umbrella program for a number of different sub programs that we have. And it's all about community engagement. It's all about community recognition. So it's all about how we take our resources and provide the technical support that either municipalities or community groups, volunteer organizations, there's a lot of friends of groups for different watersheds and park resources that we get to bring our expertise to. And this funding enables the sustainability of that program for years to come.
So really impressive, $140,000 that has already been donated, and I'm sure only going to surpass that in years to come. But as you said, the generosity and understanding that connection to the environment, which we all appreciate. Maybe you can talk about that in a little bit more detail. So I, as a customer, make that donation as part of my vehicle registration. What happens with those proceeds? What do they get used for specifically?
Yeah, so when you make that donation, we collect that revenue, I believe, on a monthly basis, and then that immediately gets turned into our boots on the ground action that we're doing through our program managers, through our staff who are doing outreach in jurisdictions across the state. So all of that funding is put into tree planting programs, into our our nursery program. So when you donate to the Tremendous, there are, as I mentioned, there's a variety of sub-programs that we have. So we have a park planting program where you can request trees if they're going to be planted on public property. So we get a lot of community groups who are interested in planting in their local communities. And so we provide that tree stock subsidized through the Tremendous Conservation Fund that we have. There's also things like the Marylanders Plant Trees Coupon, which is a program that we offer through participating nurseries where you can get discounted native plants through this program. And so that revenue goes to support that program as well.
That's great.
And then we have others that are, like I mentioned, about recognition. So if a community group is doing volunteer activities that support the health and the integrity of their green spaces around them and they're planting trees and whatnot, they can get micro grants and things from the state. So all of this gets wrapped into this beautiful channel of outreach that we are able to provide.
Well, that's wonderful. I know that makes folks feel good when they make that donation and, you know, are able to see the impact right there in their community. I love that. And hopefully folks now know about opportunities to reach out and see where they can get some trees planted if that's something they're looking to do in their local neighborhood. This is really important because there is a 5 million trees initiative,
yes.
Right? And so
mm-hmm.
hopefully things like the MBA donation, along with many other things, help us get there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So the 5 million trees initiative is an amazing testament from our state government and a commitment to planting trees and maintaining a healthy tree canopy across the state. This was something that came out of the Tree Solutions Now Act of 2021. So in July 2021 is when it officially kicked off. And so between then and 2031 is when we hope to have 5 million additional trees on the landscape, which involves a lot of coordination between the efforts that the State Forest Service is doing, along with what the Maryland Department of Agriculture, the Maryland Department of Environment, our nonprofit partners like the Chesapeake Bay Trust and mm-hmm. Maryland Department of Transportation. This is not just a DNR-led initiative. It's a multi-agency initiative. And like I mentioned, it's involved a lot of different stakeholders because we can't get it done by ourselves. It's worth noting that the 5 Million Tree Initiative is based off a reporting model that is looking at trees beyond the baseline of what we're already planting. So as the Forest Service, you know, we're contributing about 200 acres per year of tree planting
wow.
activities. And so those have different functions. Those are funded through different mechanisms. And the 5 million trees that we're counting are going above and beyond that. So we're really looking at the additionality that this program brings onto what we already were doing. And the attention that the 5 million tree program is bringing to the importance of trees, not just out there, mm-hmm. so to speak, in our state lands or in more rural parts that you might take a weekend trip out to, but actually those that are in our community that are supporting our well-being and our health. I think that's where we have a really great platform to share that messaging, as you know, we're in an era of just really great science, looking at the benefits for trees like those that are around us and how they improve our mood, how they improve our health, and how they change our psychological makeup just to be in their presence. And I think that's really an important message that we want to share as we're thinking about not just the tree's value for climate change, which is so important, and you know, those large landscape scale afforestation and reforestation projects are going to carry a lot of that weight, but where trees, even in isolation or in small groves and, you know, parks like this that are maybe less than an acre, those can have really attuned benefits for communities that, you know, can be felt directly.
That's really interesting. We think about the environmental impact, but maybe not the health impact as much. And are there ways to track that so that we can see these are the measurable impacts of what we're doing and making that difference?
Yeah, some are easier to measure than others. And I'm definitely not a health expert by any means. But, you know, when we're talking about trees impact in heavily urban areas, you know, where there's a lot of infrastructure, a lot of concrete and heavy materials that create heat, what we call heat islands.
Mm-hmm.
Heat islands are essentially where the local climate, the local temperature is higher than it is elsewhere because of all the radiating and residual heat that's coming off of heat absorbing materials like concrete,
yeah,
asphalt,
concrete.
And building materials.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're seeing and what the science has been able to show us for about the past 10 years or so is that when you have trees in those heavily urbanized areas, temperatures can be moderated significantly in a way that has a really tremendous impact on just the experience and the health of people who are in those environments. I think a study maybe 5-10 years ago demonstrated in Baltimore City, there between a community that had a large patch of trees and a really urban area close to downtown, there was a temperature difference on this at the same time of day in the summer that was 16 degrees cooler.
Wow.
In that leafy greener part of the city. And that we also see the overlaps between where trees are and the health statistics mm-hmm. of those communities. So higher levels of CPOD and other respiratory conditions. And so mm-hmm. when you are repressed with that heat, it mm-hmm. makes that really challenging when you have pre-existing conditions like that. So we're really trying to support community health through our planting activities, strategically locating them in ways that can kind of moderate the temperature in those heavily urbanized areas. And where we have the possibility to do so, pick up concrete, remove those impervious surfaces mm-hmm. and replace them with greener grasses and vegetation that can help support that dynamic as well.
Well, yeah, and they certainly just make us happier too, right? In this natural kind of environment, certainly much better than being in a conference room. You mentioned Baltimore City. Are there other areas of the state that really are prioritized because there is so much of the, you know, concrete and asphalt and we really want to bring in that more natural environment?
Yeah, well, the whole state is our priority. Of course, you know, we don't have qualms about working one area or the other. And in each region, each locality has their own dynamics that we factor in, different partnerships and different local capacity that we try to work with. You know, Baltimore is just a great example, but, you know, all of Central Maryland experiences the same sort of syndrome, if you will, as far as how development is impacting the natural landscape. And so the challenge and the opportunity in working in Central Maryland as far as where we can plant trees, the types of partnerships that we can develop look very differently than the types of opportunities where we might be looking out in Western Maryland outside of Hagerstown or in Frederick, where there are larger tracts of land, there are more agricultural lands that are opportunities for afforestation, for maybe stream buffer protection, where that's a huge critical overlap for us between the opportunities for increasing our tree canopy statewide and also having all these other co-benefits for wildlife mm-hmm. and for water quality. Stream buffers are top of our list. So we take every opportunity, and the new Forest Conservation Act actually prioritizes stream buffers in a way that they've never been prioritized before, as far as where there is development for whatever reason that triggers the Forest Conservation Act. A stream buffer must be identified for afforestation opportunities because we know how critically important they are for fish habitat and for other amphibious habitat and for controlling erosion, which has downstream impacts as far as water quality in the Chesapeake Bay. So stream buffers, I think, is probably the straightest answer to your question. Urban areas, for the reasons I was discussing sure. earlier, are also really key as well.
No, that's great. I wonder if you have any guidance or advice for homeowners, business owners, as maybe thinking about planting some trees. What would you recommend to them in terms of consideration of, I know you mentioned making sure it's a native species, right? We don't want to plant something that's yeah. not going to survive and do well in the environment. But what are other things that they should consider in terms of that?
Well, like you mentioned, I think native species that's the number one advice that we always try to give. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful variety to the native species that we have in this state. You know, Maryland is the country in miniature, is the old yeah. saying. We have a variety of different ecosystems that support a variety of different plant species. And so we're working with nurseries to make sure that they're offering those plants. And so I would say start looking on our website, start reaching out to your local nurseries to see what sort of stock that they have available, and reach out. We're one of the few states in the country that can say we have foresters assigned to every county in our state.
That's great.
Which is an amazing resource. Mm-hmm. That it's one of those things you don't really appreciate until you don't have it, or if you live mm-hmm. in a place that doesn't have that. But anybody anywhere can pick up a phone or go online and find a local point of contact who will come out to their property and kind of help them suss out the different opportunities.
And there's
that
local community, right? And the right. needs there.
Yeah. So we have a really wonderful network that is available, and it's hard if you haven't tapped into it before to know that it's out there. But just that simple, you know, that first email, you can reach out to us online or reach out to the local forestry office at their telephone number. And we're always happy to come out and offer assistance to help you identify it. You know, maybe it's not just you, maybe there's a gateway. You think that you want some trees in your front yard mm-hmm. and you talk to a forester and they say, oh, actually you have a huge opportunity in your backyard if you were interested in putting it into an easement, or working with the Maryland Environmental Trust, you know, to put into an easement. You know, there's trees are just the gateway, you know.
That's exciting to know. So many resources. Definitely want to encourage our listeners to go and look at your website and see who those partners are, and really reach out to the local resources that they want to get more involved, in addition to, of course, donating as to the tremendous program with that vehicle registration renewal.
Yeah.
Well, this is a great program, but I know there's so much that goes on at the Department of Natural Resources. We really only scratched the surface. I know we had our first lady really encouraging people to unplug and get out in the natural environment like we are today. And I think that's such a wonderful message when we're all just, you know, really connected to our electronic devices, just a step away and breathe in the air and take advantage of what beauty the state has to offer. I wonder if you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it sent a great message by the First Lady. You know, Ms. Moore was a wonderful participant in that event. I know that the staff we had at DNR who supported that event were so excited to have her out there and for her to help amplify that message, because, like you said, it is so important for us to take those opportunities and realize the value of our parks and our state forests and local parks as well. You know, opportunities to get outside and disconnect in a way that provides benefits to us that we don't always appreciate or experience in our day-to-day lives unless we actively take those steps to relax. And that wasn't the case 20, 30 years ago, but now we have to be proactive that way. And so forest bathing is a great activity. It's, you know, it's something that's kind of entering, I think, the public arena as a concept. But it really harkens back to a really just fundamental, you know, practice that our species has been doing for millennia. And so it's really great to ground ourselves in nature. And, you know, we don't need to necessarily go to these large parks far away to experience it. I mean, whether you're in the city or in a suburb, you probably have a park where you can just get out and go into somewhere deep enough to kind of get the traffic sounds away and listening to the birds and the spring peepers and things that just make you feel like you're outside of your day-to-day, you know, grind. So it is pretty wonderful.
And it was great to see the young people with First Lady Moore, because, you know, we want people when they're growing up to embrace that outdoor environment and also have the same love and respect for it that we do. And so cultivating that at a young age, I think, is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's an old saying in our field that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the second best time is today, because so much about what we do is forward thinking in terms of what is this planting going to do, or what is a specific tree going to do for our grandchildren? You know, trees live, they grow, they do everything on a slower time scale than humans. So it's often hard to appreciate what they're going to become and the impact that they're going to have. And so there is a lot of attention on working and educating children in our field. And, you know, it's a great time to be talking about this. It's Earth Month.
Yes.
Arbor Day. We just had our state Arbor Day on last Wednesday, the 3rd, and the National Arbor Day is on the 26th. So we're doing a lot of outreach right now in our school system statewide. And just outside of our frame here, we have posters that students, fifth grade students across the state, they've submitted hundreds and hundreds of posters, just sharing, you know, their passion and interest for trees with us. And we're very fortunate to have been able to engage so many kids this year. And we hope to continue that effort in the future as well, because they really are such a key audience for getting this message out, because they're going to be the decision makers of the future, who are going to be having a large say in how this state responds to climate change, how it makes decisions about protecting and conserving trees and natural areas. So it is really key.
No, it's really great work that you're doing. And I, on behalf of all Marylanders, thank you and your colleagues at the Department of Natural Resources, because you're doing these things every day to make life better for all of us at the end of the day, life more enjoyable, healthier, and just more beautiful in our natural environment. So thank you. Any last words that you'd like to share with Marylanders in terms of the importance of the programs that you run here and things that we need to be more conscious of, because these are things you focus on every day?
I don't have any parting words per se, but I will just reinforce the point that we can't do it all by ourselves. We are the lovers and the protectors of the state's forestry resources, and we have hundreds of thousands of state forest lands that we manage, but we're also here to be a partner with you. Whether you have a small parcel or hundreds of acres that you just want to manage better, we are here to help and provide technical support. And I think that's a message that we want to just, we can't harp on enough in this day and age where there's just so many challenges that we face, not just with the environment, but how it overlaps with so many other issues like we were discussing earlier. And we're just here. We want to make sure people are aware that they can reach out to us and that we will be there to support them one way or another.
Well, thank you so much, JT, for being with me. I think it's a wonderful message to end with, that each and every one of us has a role to play in our natural environment. We need to be conscious of that. We need to make good decisions, and it needs to be part of our thought process every day. In the same way you are, you're more of an expert than all of us, but we all can do something each and every day to make the environment better. So again, thank you for joining us for Conversations with Chrissy. Look forward to talking to you again soon.